Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. And the first thing I want to tell you today, oh, besides the fact that it is October 30th, it's Halloween tomorrow. You know, I should have on my website, and I don't. But if you had subscribed to my newsletter, I've been sending out different bits and pieces in the newsletter about how to have a less toxic Halloween. And there have been a few things that have come out, different organizations with things. But you might want to take a look at a website called healthystuff.org. And they've just done a study of toxic chemicals in Halloween costumes and accessories and all those things for Halloween. So just go to healthystuff.org and take a look at what they have to say about the toxic chemicals in Halloween. And you can also go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and type in healthy Halloween into the search box. And you can listen to an interview I did last year with Annie Bond. And we talked about different ways that we have had toxic-free Halloweens in the past and different things that you can do. So I just encourage you to just type in Halloween or green Halloween, non-toxic Halloween, you know, in your favorite search engine and see what comes up, because there's a lot of things to know about how toxic Halloween can be. And making it a less toxic occasion for your children. So, all that said, today what we're going to talk about is your HVAC system, which is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. I think that's right, but my guest will correct me. And we're going to talk about indoor air quality. And I decided to have this guest on because I was talking with her, and she gave me so much information about my HVAC system that I didn't know. And I live here in Clearwater, Florida, where we are in air conditioning. My HVAC is on 7 or 8 months of the year. And the things that I didn't know, I thought all of you should know. Because if you have HVAC, as most people do, you need to know how it's affecting your indoor air quality, what you can do. We're going to talk about all these things. My guest today is Judy Rachel. She's a home performance professional specializing in third-party independent home energy audits, best green building practices specifications, and HVAC systems design. And so today we're going to be talking about the basics of how your HVAC system works, choosing correct filters, why we have indoor air quality problems and how to solve them, and how you can get to know your HVAC system so that you can use it properly. So we've got a lot to talk about. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Deborah.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. And you're in Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
How's the air quality there today?
Yeah, well, you know, the air quality is just what it is in LA. We're a great big city. I'm in a valley where we have an inversion layer. So it's you know, definitely got it's good days and it's bad days. Being fall, it's definitely kind of a better season for us.
Yeah.
With the air quality. But all that being said, you know, indoor air quality studies are showing is much worse than outdoor air quality, even in cities like LA.
Yes, and those studies have been going on for many, many years, and we'll talk about that. I just wanted to say that I have a friend who lives in LA who is also a building scientist like you are, and she does consultations about fixing your HVAC for indoor air quality purposes. But also, it was so interesting to me when I went to her house, what a difference it made that I always thought, you know, I could just never live in LA, but being in her house, the difference between the outdoor air quality and the indoor air quality was just amazing. And of course, she lives in a completely non-toxic house. So she's reducing her indoor air pollutants at the source, as she should. But it made so much difference to not just have any old HVAC, but to be able to do the right thing and understand how it is. So I know it can make a huge, huge difference. But before we get into the details, tell us how you got interested in this subject.
Well, I was actually searching very specifically for a job that I could be doing, you know, every single day of my life that I could feel good about, that, you know, that was going to match up with my values of wanting to live a green, sustainable, non-toxic life. And in that search, I happened to kind of fall into building science. I heard about home energy audits. I talked my way into a class on home performance and building science, and I was hooked. It's absolutely fascinating. It's amazing the things that we don't know or understand about the way our homes perform, and the fact that in making a home energy efficient, we have all these wonderful byproducts. We get increased comfort. We get better indoor air quality. We create more durable homes. We create healthier and safer homes. So it just was, you know, this incredible revelation. This is awesome. This is fascinating. I could do this every day. Wake up happy to be doing this.
And so that's really good. I'm so glad that you're doing it, because it is a field that people need to understand. And it's kind of technical. And you explained it so clearly to me that I'm sure that the listeners are going to understand everything you said today. So first, let's start with explain the basics of an HVAC system.
Well, so basically, there's actually two components to what we call an HVAC system. We have the component that we are actually conditioning the air in our home. And so that's really the heating and air conditioning component of it. And typically, it's best that it's a completely separate system from the V portion, which is ventilation. The heating and cooling portion is conditioning our air. It's supposed to be about comfort, and part of comfort is actually moisture removal in air conditioning. The V portion, ventilation, is really about the contaminants and pollutants in our air and getting proper air changes through our house, and it has its own two components. We have source point ventilation, where we're actually removing the contaminants at a particular source. So say in a bathroom where we have high moisture issues, you know, showers, baths, that type of thing, as well as odors, we want those sources removed. In kitchens, we're cooking, there's combustion byproducts, we want those sources of contaminants moved. And then we have the second component of ventilation, which is the whole house ventilation, where we actually need to create air changes from the indoors to the outdoors so that we get this body of air that moves through the house so we actually can remove pollutants that might be building up in the home.
And that would include even things like if you think that you don't have pollution, like I think I don't have pollution in my house because I don't have toxic chemicals, that would include things like the pollution that created when we breathe, when we exhale, and things like dust mites that might be coming off your bed. Or tell
exactly.
us about some of those pollutants that we might not be thinking of.
Right. And so the thing is that just our very living. So even when we are making tremendous efforts to not bring contaminants into our home, the very fact of our existence in an enclosed space is creating, you know, basically we can call them contaminants. We are creating stale air. We're breathing in the O2. We're breathing out the CO2. We need to make sure that we have the right balance and mix of those things. Our various cleaning supplies, are releasing things. So, of course, if we're trying to clean, you know, much more non-toxically, then there's going to be less of that. But these things do build up. And, you know, just every effort we make, our skins are still shedding cells. And if we have any pets, there's dander. So there are just all kinds of things that are building up and basically just kind of making the air stale when we have an enclosed environment, which is what our homes are. And
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say just so in order for us to keep our conditioned air conditioned, in our houses, we do need to have an enclosed environment You know, so we need to make sure that we're also getting the air changes.
Yeah, we need to go to the break, but I want to ask you a question about that when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Judy Rachel. She's a home performance professional specializing in energy and indoor air quality. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Judy Rachel. She's a home performance professional specializing in both indoor air quality and also energy efficiency. That these two things go together, and I'm so interested in that balance. So, Judy, would you just tell us more about, I really want us to, all of us, all the listeners and myself, to understand that an HVA system, there's this balance going on in our homes where we need to have the air heated and cooled in an energy efficient way, which means seal up the house. And that's one of the reasons why we have indoor air quality now, indoor air quality problems now. That this whole thing about indoor air quality, it wasn't even, when I started writing, it wasn't even a phrase. It didn't exist 30 years ago when I started writing. And I remember that then there was the energy crisis. And after the energy crisis, they said, we need to seal up all the houses to retain the heat and cooling and reduce the amount of energy we used. And that's when we started having indoor air quality problems, because prior to that, houses leaked around, you know, little cracks and windows and all these things. And now there was no longer the air exchange. So tell us more about these opposites of needing to seal the house for energy efficiency, yet needing to have ventilation for indoor air quality.
Well, so first I want to say that there's a little bit of a fallacy that we didn't have the indoor air quality problems when our houses were leakier, because what's happening in a leaky building is that the air exchanges are completely random, and they're from random sources. Mm-hmm. And because of the way of basically the way physics works, right? Hot moves to cold, wet moves to dry. The natural forces that go on, particularly in a leaky house, are that we get cold air coming in down low, and we get warm air trying to exit up high. And it creates this whole convective loop and pressure differentials that are happening from inside to outside. And so if I'm bringing air in from down low, that's very, so in my climate area, that's from raised foundations. So I'm sitting on top of a bunch of dirty, disgusting earth that very often has all kinds of rodents and, you know, raccoons and possums and everything, skunks and everything else get underneath my houses.
Me too.
And, you know, and or even, you know, moist basements and things like that in other parts of the country. So we're bringing in air from those really horrible places into our homes. And then it's also trying to exit out the top of our homes. And then in the summer, it actually reverses. And so now I'm bringing in air from my attic, which is another place where there's all kinds of stuff going on up there that I really don't care to be breathing that air. So in our leaky houses, the air exchanges were much quicker, but they were still coming from sources that I really didn't want to be breathing that air. Mm-hmm. Then there's also the portion of I basically built a home to shelter myself from outside conditions because I'm just not as hardy as, you know, say, my predecessors in mm-hmm. you know, in human history. So I want some comfort. I want, you know, an enclosure to keep me safe and to also keep me comfortable. So now I've put in a forced air system. You know, so I'm heating and cooling my air. But if the house is leaky, then my conditioned air is coming and going. And the outside right. air is coming in and it's messing up, you know, this air that I'm paying to condition. So that's that's where a lot of the energy efficiency comes in, is that if I have a leaky building and I'm trying to heat or cool it, I'm spending much more money heating and cooling that air because it is randomly coming and going and I don't have any control over that. Then the way that I deliver the air into the house is through this air distribution system, the air ducts.
Right.
If those air ducts are leaky, then I'm bringing in this unconditioned air that's also very typically from the crawl space, if that's where my ducts are running in, or the attic, if that's where my ducts are running through, or the walls, if that's where my ducts are running through. So I'm losing my conditioned air, I'm bringing in unconditioned air, and I'm also bringing pollutants in if I don't make sure that my air distribution system, that those ducts, are actually tight. So
yeah.
They have both an effect on the energy efficiency of, you know, of the equipment, of my home, of my energy bill, as well as my indoor air quality.
So one of the things that I didn't understand, that I learned this several years ago, was that I always assumed that air was coming in and out of the house. But I understand that in most, if not all, HVA systems, what it's doing is recycling air. And so the key thing of interest for me about that, aside from the fact that we're probably depleting oxygen, is that when you're recycling the air, then the pollutants that, like, people who aren't living in toxic-free houses like you and I, just the average American person or the average person in the world, they've got all these toxic chemicals going on. They're cleaning with toxic chemicals and spraying pesticides and fire retardants on the sofa and all these things. And there's no place for those pollutants to go. And they just build up and build up and build up and build up over time to very toxic levels in the home. So it's not just what are the toxic chemicals. It's toxic chemicals plus no ventilation. So could you just explain about that too, about the recycled air, and how then does the V part of HVAC work to be making these air exchanges?
Right. So, yes, our forced air systems really should just be moving inside air through the house. They shouldn't be exchanging outside air at all. And that's, you know, part of what I was just saying in terms of leaky duct systems, is that, you know, the forced air system in our house and the ducts that are bringing that air to the various rooms is really like the circulatory system of our bodies. There shouldn't be an exchange from inside to outside through that system. So the heating and cooling portion is to make us comfortable, it's to condition our air, and it's also to remove moisture in climates where moisture is an issue.
So Before you go on, let's go to break, and then we'll put it all together when we come back so you don't get interrupted by the commercial. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and my guest today is Judy Rachel, home performance professional, and her website is greenacres.com, but it's spelled A-C-H-E-R-S, greenacres.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and my guest today is Judy Rachel. She's a home performance professional specializing in indoor air quality and HVA systems. So, Judy, tell us a little more about, we were discussing about how the system recycles the air.
Right, and so to recap, the heating and air conditioning portion of our heating and cooling systems is for most of us, was designed and installed to actually be a closed loop within our home. And they were not installed to even clean our air. They purely are installed to circulate the air and to condition the air in the house and to remove some moisture. So then that leaves us the ventilation portion of HVAC. And that ventilation portion is very specifically about exchanging indoor and outdoor air and removing contaminants and pollutants in a controlled way, so not random like in a leaky house, in a controlled amount. And it's absolutely meant to increase the comfort and health of the occupants within the home. So they're two very separate systems. And
but they're all together in one thing. I mean, somebody buys an HVAC and they're going to get both, right?
Well, no. So the contractors
This is a very important point. This is so important. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so the contractors are called HVAC because we're still dealing with the movement of air and, you know, and therefore the principles of how air moves and the pressures that make air move and the temperature differences that work within air movement. And the fact that we typically are distributing, we're distributing air movement through duct systems, and they're motorized, and, you know, there's fans and blowers, and so the systems are absolutely within the realm of the same, you know, the same brain. So, you know, a contractor that's been trained to do the heating and cooling would very naturally be able to understand how a ventilation system would need to be designed and installed. So the two things are similar in the way that we're using air. They're different systems. And so if you want to use your heating and cooling system as a ventilation system, then it needs to be designed that way. And we need to now start having some air exchanges from inside to outside happening with it. None of our systems actually clean the air per se. So that's not what's going on with this system. Basically, to remove pollutants is not about scrubbing the air or cleaning it. It's exchanging it with enough ambient air that, you know, is not going to have the parts per million of the pollutants in it, so that, you know, to some extent we're diluting, and we want to, you know, truly dilute, as in getting rid of it and having a much better body of air available for us.
But then, okay, so this now leads us into two different areas, but I want to just mention them both and then go in a certain direction. So the first thing that I want to say is that if you're ventilating in, say, Los Angeles, you're bringing out in the outdoor air, which is polluted. But as we said in the beginning, that many studies have shown that indoor air pollution is worse than outdoor air pollution, because you've got the outdoor air pollution and you've also got the pollution being produced by all the toxic things and breathing and all those things that are indoors. And so then the second area then is about filters. And I know that we think, if we have HVA systems, we think that we're putting in the filters in order to filter the air so that it's less toxic. But you told me something different. So tell us about filters.
Right. So the filter in the heating and cooling portion of our system is actually to protect the mechanical components of the system itself. It's to protect the fan that's blowing the air, and it's to protect the coil that is creating our, particularly in air conditioning, the coil that's creating the cooling air, that's taking the heat out of the air. So we need to keep those components clean so that they continue to function well and the whole system is able to function well and efficiently. So that is truly why there are filters in the heating and cooling portion of our forced air system. It's for the protection of the systems themselves. It's not actually to, say, scrub our air or filter the air for our respiratory health.
Okay, so then there's things that consumers need to know about when they go buy the filter, because I know that I just go down to Lowe's or Home Depot or someplace like that, and I just was buying the filters that had the highest rating for removing particulates. But there's reasons why we shouldn't do that. So tell us about that.
The filters in our systems create a resistance to air movement, and our systems are based on air moving, and there's a certain, basically, a budget, right? Like we have, you know, a budget mm-hmm. for buying our groceries or, you know, for anything else. There's a budget for actually the motor in the system as to how much air it can move and how much air it can move efficiently and effectively. And since we're trying to deliver the energy, the conditioned energy into the various rooms with the air, we know very specifically how much air we need to be delivering from through the whole system and how much needs to go to each particular room. And so every time I put something in the airstream, such as a filter, I am creating some resistance to airflow. And there is not a very big budget for what any of these fans can use. And I've got this entire duct system that I have to attach, as well as a coil that I need to put on. And so my budget gets used up by all of these things. And the filter needs to be only a very small portion of that budget, or I basically completely short-circuit the entire very expensive system that I have installed. And, you know, that's supposed to be keeping me comfortable in my home.
So we need to go to break in just a few seconds. So tell us, what is the guideline for what a consumer needs to do to choose the right filter?
Well, you need to know what the pressure drop is, how much resistance to airflow the particular filter is that you're putting in a system, and if your system can handle that amount of resistance to the airflow.
So that would be that you should use the filters that your contractor recommends. And but if you don't have a contractor, like for me, I just moved into a house and I had no idea which was it. So we're going to talk about what to do in that case when we come back. And also we're going to talk about indoor air quality. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Judy Rachel, home performance professional in the field of energy efficiency and indoor air quality with HVAC. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Judy Rachel. She's a home performance professional specializing in balancing energy efficiency and indoor air quality. Her website is greenacres.com. That's green and then A-C-H-E-R-S, like ache. Ache like your arm aches or your head aches.
Exactly.
Or your lungs ache.
Yeah, I think of it as aching to be green.
Aching to be green, good. That's a good way to remember it. Okay, so if I don't know, if I don't have any information from the contractor who installed my HVAC system, what is the quick answer about what I should do in order to find out what is the right filter for me?
Well, the quick answer is that it's important to have a filter in your system to keep any kind of dust and debris out of your system. So the least expensive filter that's out there that will fit in the slot is going to be your best bet, just to make sure that you have a filter in your system. But then really the only way that you can possibly find out if a contractor didn't specifically leave you with filters so that you can replace those is that you would need a contractor to come in and actually measure this, what's called the static pressure, the pressures on the system, and to let you know what exact filter you actually can use for your system. So even though there's this whole potpourri of filters out there and they might fit into the slot, they absolutely can short-circuit your system if they're creating too much resistance to airflow. And it's not something that you're necessarily going to feel at the grills. So you really need to have somebody who can come in and take the measurement across the filter.
Yeah, I just had a new air conditioner installed a few months ago, and my contractor did not leave any filters with me or say anything about it. He just installed the filter that I bought from Home Depot. You know, so I'm going to go back to my contractor and ask him specifically about this. He did a really good job installing it, but he just didn't say anything about this. And actually, listeners, the first time I even heard about this was from Judy, but it makes total sense to me that you want to have the best air movement that you can and protect your system and not have it all fall apart. So, tell us about indoor air quality problems. What are the source of indoor air quality problems, and what's the appropriate way to handle them if we can't just put a filter on our HVAC and say, oh, we're handling our indoor air quality problems? And people should not assume that they're handled just because they have a filter in the HVAC.
Yeah, so the indoor air quality issues are myriad, and they definitely can come from indoors, outdoors, and from things that we bring into our home. So, you know, kind of a short, quick, dirty list is, you know, you might have radon issues. There are just environmental tobacco smoke, biological contaminants such as mold or animal dander or dust mites, bacteria and viruses. Stoves, heaters, fireplaces, and chimneys bring contaminants into our homes. The various household products that we have, formaldehyde in, you know, so many of the materials that are used to build our cabinetry and furnishings in our home, pesticides, asbestos, lead, and all the various VOCs, right? Engineered lumbers, right. Adhesives, carpets, paint, upholstery, dry cleaning, bringing any dry cleaning to your home. Just walking outside, you track things in from the bottom of your shoes, synthetic lawn and garden fertilizers, as well as pesticides. So unfortunately, the pollutants and contaminants come from so many sources. And then, of course, when we do things like take showers or just breathe or cook, we're also, you know, creating moisture. And then all the things that the moisture can actually, those molecules of moisture can attract. And so we want to make sure that we get those things out of our homes as well. And so that's absolutely where ventilation comes into play. And so some of the ventilation that we really need to do needs to be straight exhaust. You know, there's just certain areas of our homes where we need to be exhausting air out of our home. And so particularly bathrooms and kitchens, that's right. Incredibly important.
And every house comes with exhaust fans, unless it's a really old house before they were required by law. But isn't it like not to code to not have those exhaust fans? So the thing is that people need to use them. You need mm-hmm. to use your exhaust fans.
Yes,
you have to turn them on.
Turn them on. We need to use them. And so it's another thing is that, you know, there's new ones that are so wonderfully quiet. So if you don't turn it on because it's just too noisy, you know, look into getting one of the ones that has it's called a sone rating. That's the noise rating. So a lower sone rating so that you know, don't mind having it on. But they are essential to use. And really opening doors and windows, as pleasant as it seems and can feel, there's definitely certain times of the year when most of us can't open our doors and windows.
Right.
And the other thing about opening doors and windows is that it's, once again, it's not controlled. We don't know for sure that it's actually working. If there isn't a temperature difference from outside to inside, if there's no wind, if it's a still day, then there's actually no movement happening across a door or window. So, you know, I love opening my doors and windows, but I also know that that's more a connection of myself to the outdoors than it is about truly getting ventilation in my household. So mechanical ventilation.
Yeah.
And so mechanical ventilation systems are just so important to know that I'm actually getting the controlled movement of air into and out of the house that I need to have happen. And in those systems, I want to design in a filter for those systems so that, you know, so I'm not bringing in excessive dust or particulates and other things from outdoors. But once again, it's about air movement, and it's about air movement with a fan and through a duct system. So I still need to be concerned about, you know, is that filter restricting too much airflow? And so that's the other part of it, is that any of our systems that have filters, it's really important to change them regularly.
So we're talking about these two different systems, and I'm guessing that if you had a properly designed HVAC system, that there would be these two systems operating independently but together. So that would mean two different kinds of filters, one to keep the conditioning part system clean and the other one in the ventilation that might be removing pollutants. Is that right?
Yeah. So yes, in the ventilation system, you know, I'm still definitely concerned about whatever fan it is and blower motor that I have in that piece of equipment. So I want to keep it clean. But in the fact that I am exchanging outdoor air with indoor air, I do want a bit better of a filter that's going to be stopping, you know, any pollutants that I know for sure might be coming in from outdoors, you know, basically kind of dusty type things and particulates.
Right.
You know, I definitely want to make sure that the filter is good enough that, you know, insects aren't going to be able to bypass it, you know, or and pollen and things
course,
like that.
Yes.
You know, so that filter I'm going to look at and design so that I'm doing better filtration with that filter rather than just trying to protect my, my motor with that filter for that system.
So
but
when you,
we
only have a couple minutes left, so I want to make sure I ask this question. So when you're going down to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever store you buy your filter, and there's all these filters on the shelf, most of those filters, if not all, are going to be the filters that are keeping your system clean, and you're just going to put them in the slot. Where does this other filter go, and how do you replace it?
Well, so there actually should be a little bit of a filter over your exhaust fan in your kitchen in particular. So you should make sure that that stays clear of grease and that that should be, you know, just right there and accessible. If you actually have a whole house ventilation system put in to your house, then that's one of the things that our ventilation contractors need to help us with is that they need to help those filters be accessible for us. And that's the same thing actually with the heating and cooling portion as well. Those filters need to be accessible for us. And that's why a lot of times we put them where the return air, where the air goes back into the system. And so those will pop open so we can just pop a filter back in and have that accessible to us. You know, so that really is something that our contractors need to help us with is that, you know, to have to call them in every, you know, 3 months or something to change a filter just isn't feasible. We need to be able to take care of that ourselves.
If I don't know that there's a ventilation system, like my conditioning system, but that I have fans in the kitchen and the bathroom, I might not even have a ventilation system.
Yes, in most of our building stocks, unless you've had some kind of energy retrofit done, you probably don't have a whole house ventilation system. You've got your exhaust fans.
Okay, good. I'm sorry I have to interrupt you because we're coming to the end of the show. We only have a few seconds left. This has been so interesting, and I want everybody to remember that I'm now making transcripts of all the shows. And so in a few days, you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and look at the transcript of this show, read it. You can go to Judy's website, greenacres.com, and that's like aching to be green. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.